Sat inside BBC New Broadcasting House, and I'm sat with Matt Wade, who is not just a podcaster. He's been working in audio for how long?
Well, for BBC since 2000, and then started in hospital radio back in 1991.
Is that where you got your podcasting voice?
Yeah, I was man and boy there. I did 25 years for hospital radio in Chelmsford.
Wow.
So yeah, got the bug and thought, wow, this would be great if I could get paid to do this.
And what do you do now for money?
For money, I do all sorts. But my main job here at the BBC is I am a support engineer for World Service Languages. And the BBC World Service had a load of funding quite recently from the Foreign Office to expand out into Africa and Asia and launch the Korean service here in London as well. And so with that expansion, new equipment needs to go out. So my job basically is to deploy equipment for field kit use to reporters.
No way.
Yeah.
Something close to my heart.
So it's, unfortunately, it's a lot less audio than it used to be. And it's a lot more pictures.
That'll change. What? With accessibility, what's needed nowadays? I'm very surprised.
Yeah, we don't do as much audio as we used to. We do a lot of camera kits and a lot of iPhones and mobile journalism stuff, which the BBC is starting to take a bit more of an interest in now. But we used to do a lot more mojo bits because we wanted to give the reporters phones anyway, and then it was quite cheap to add a microphone onto it.
I did not know that. I did not know that was part of your job, which is you must get to play with a lot of technology.
Yeah, we get everything in that we want to play around with, which is lovely. And it was one of the things that attracted me to the job, was get to play with gadgets. Although it has been sort of head down, getting a lot of camera kits out, you know, 100 camera kits, which are sort of from small VJ kits right up to shoot edit kits, which are big Sony X400 cameras that you'd sort of see on the news at 10.
So when you talk about the kits, what price range do they come from? What's the cheapest, most affordable kit should someone be listening and want to be dabbling in mobile journalism?
For mobile journalism, I would say it doesn't need to be an iPhone anymore, certainly, with the number of apps and things that are out there. And it all depends on the sort of journalism you're wanting to do as to whether or not you want just a clip microphone, which we do like the Rode SmartLav Pluses. So if you're just doing lapel stuff, plus also with those, we stick them through a little Rode converter so you can have two lapel mics to be able to do a little two-way, you know, you and a guest. So we're into those. And also the shoulder pod mounts for phones to be able to stick on tripods. We do a Manfrotto compact action tripods mainly, although we're looking at some others that have little bubble spirit levels and things like that in, because often the terrain is a little bit, tarmacked roads in Africa are few and far between sometimes where we have reporters. Mm. And then other than that, we do still like the Rode. We like the Rode new shooter, film shooter, stuff for wireless bits and pieces.
Great when there's not much Wi-Fi around.
Yeah. Which often there isn't in the places where we're doing it. And then some handheld mics. We use a lot of MCE58 powered microphones that go into audio recorders, stuff like that. They're always very good. They're omnidirectional, so you can just stick your hand in one place. You don't have to keep going between, which is quite good for people who are just starting out, really, because they can be concentrating on the questions rather than the mic placement.
And this is something key, I guess. You're going with people with the minimal, you know, you're delivering this kit to people with a minimum amount of technical knowledge, I guess.
Yeah, and training is hard, especially some of the reporters, they don't actually have a sort of an office as such. They are just out and about, and so they might be spread out. And so getting them all together in, say, Nairobi for training is just either not going to happen or they can't travel.
No need. Just give me all their what three-word locations. I will visit on an all-terrain motorbike. Dishing out goodies like whatever version of Santa you like, and training them at the same time.
Okay.
It's just come to me that right now.
Brilliant. That's solved.
Thanks. I'll just need a big fat check. Well, actually, no. Who uses checks?
Well, we don't.
I'll just give you my touch card thing, which I carry around. Yeah. Like the new buskers. Have you seen those?
No.
Your buskers. You can touch card for buskers. No. I know. Yeah.
Sounds dangerous.
I thought that when I first saw it, because a lot of buskers probably don't have an accountant and also are off-grid.
I don't think they're too bothered about the tax man catching up with them, because what can they do? They can't take their house away.
No, exactly. That's a very good point.
Very good point.
Well, they're not all homeless.
No, true.
There are professionals living very nicely, I believe. Wow, that was a diversion. yeah, no, I'm serious about that. I'll talk to you about that afterwards. And outside of that, yeah, so my kit... I do get accused sometimes, even though I've got super basic, like mid, and then it starts getting a bit complicated because I want the full featured goodness. I do get questioned about, oh yeah, but how? What if I haven't got that amount of money? So what's your thought about the cutoff point? You know, what are the essentials for capturing stories that you really should have? Because already you've just told me audio is being forgotten about and you need to pay for.
I mean, a lot of it is to do with the sort of stories you are telling, because if you haven't got the, it's fine not to have the equipment. If you've got a recorder of some variety that's got an internal microphone or whatever, as long as you know and you have experimented with the capabilities. So yeah, if you've got a phone, what I would suggest is you just play around with it in different, so you come into, we're in a slightly sort of soundproofed but oddly glass either side type room, so we're getting some odd reflections, but try it in different places and try holding it in different ways and, you know, gripping it tight or trying to stick it in a clamp of some variety, even if that's like a bulldog clip or something like that, or just look for some cases and experiment with the microphone as to how close you want it. Or whether you can just lay it down in the middle of the table and which orientation to do it, and whether you need to put a little mat or something on the table beforehand and just sort of tap on there and just figure it out. So figure out the characteristics and then adapt it to whatever your recording situation is.
So I'm an advocate for people experimenting and playing in their own time. It's the only way to get comfortable with your gear, to get comfortable with your kit. I still carry a little spoffle in my pocket all the time, everywhere I go. If anything else, it stops my coins jangling when I'm creeping up on stuff. But for me, having probably done more recordings just into my phone, using that spoffle into, for example, Audio Boom in this instance, 2,000 recordings without any external microphone, I did get a feel for how I should be using it, and that was get it as close to my mouth as possible, because then it just knocks down all the ambient noise, which is not all of it. Hopefully you have a bit of an audio
image. Well, your brain will go for the loudest thing, and it will just get rid of the rest of the stuff.
And then and don't be afraid to hold it under the chin of the person you're talking to. Some people don't like to get too close.
No, but that is also another benefit of an iPhone, is that it's not a foreign object like a microphone can be.
Exactly. Yeah,
and
interesting.
They're all used to it, and they've sort of seen The Apprentice, where they're holding it out sort of flat like that. Yeah. And so it's not a kind of bizarre thing to be holding a phone.
No. And recording, or at least capturing audio like you would do in a phone call or a FaceTime. I'm holding this about 3 foot from you, about 2.5 foot from me, obviously, because I want to be louder in this mix. I'm holding the mic me right now. To all intents and purposes, quite a complicated bit of kit.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I like it. It's retro, and it is nice to be able to actually see through to the capsule, so which also helps, certainly with training people about microphones in general and how they physically work and what they're doing, which does help sometimes. Some people are sort of more technologically informed, whereas others will just kind of accept, right, if you tell me to hold it in that way, then that's fine. But I do find sometimes to be able to see the innards of a microphone is really handy, to be able to say to people, look, this is how it's working. that's why you're getting the plosives when you're getting close to it, because you're really whacking it some distance with your with the wind coming out of your mouth.
And that's not a small diaphragm.
No, no. So it's really, really clear and easy to see.
And yeah, you showed me the, it's right here in my other hand, the AKG C414, 700 quid, same diaphragm, but feels like it's built. Really, to I guess that's because of the suspension mounting inside.
Yeah, the suspension mounting inside, plus also this microphone is different from that microphone in that there's two capsules. So you've got a mode cardioid pickups, hypercardioid, gotcha. Figure of eight.
Yeah.
So you can sort of hang one in between someone in a studio and be getting both voices.
That's pretty interesting. Let me hold this microphone in front of me only and have you talk, because I've not done that
so
before.
So I'm probably going to come out quite bassy, I would imagine. Certainly that's the response that you get from a 414. If you start talking into the back of it, you can hear them, but they lose all sorts of frequencies at the high end.
Interesting. Whereas I hopefully am regaining those frequencies because I'm talking into the front of the microphone. That's why I like coming to see you. We get to experiment, we get to play, and I definitely get to learn some stuff. So, top tips for somebody wanting to use a microphone like this, the Mic Me, and get optimum audio for, say, for example, a podcast, if they wanted an all-in-one solution, recording straight into this, or as I'm doing, sending it to my phone. Putting you on the spot now.
I'm going to say it's got nothing to do with a microphone and all to do with the environment. Make sure your environment's right. I did a podcast for years from my wife's wardrobe, and we
that's
had like
a great
a little,
name for a podcast.
Yeah, we had a little sort of I say walk-in wardrobe, makes it sound exceedingly posh, but it wasn't.
Okay.
It had a chest of drawers in it, and it was great. I could just part the clothes and pull the mic arm down. I had it on an arm, so it wasn't again resting on the table, because the table mounts are dreadful. And so I had it hanging from, and you can get cheap stuff, or you can even make them out of string, especially in a wardrobe. You could make them out of string quite easily and rig something up so it's just hanging in midair. Parted the clothes and recorded into that, and that deadened everything and meant I was sort of hidden away. But it did get hot.
Yeah, I bet.
But, it's better, yeah. It's better than doing it under a duvet, which does get exceedingly hot then.
Really hot. Some of my most important recordings I've ever done in my life, because they've had to be done right there, right then, can't get to a studio, have been done under a duvet, and you kind of grin and bear it. Quick recommendation, check out Booth Junkie on YouTube.
Mike Delgarty is excellent.
He knows his stuff, doesn't he?
He does it really
well.
He
would back you up on check your environment. He'll stick a cushion with some gaffer tape in the corner of the room as well.
Definitely. Well worth subscribing to his channel.
Yeah. And outside of all of that, ultimately, it's going to be what you're podcasting about, isn't it? It's going to be the narrative or the story or the topic or the niche or whatever it is you want to focus on.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking mostly about technology, kit and gear right now. And yet you can have all of the right stuff and just not engage.
No, and respect your listeners' time. Certainly, I've come out with a podcast series, Deserted Podcast, recently.
Good. That was seamless, that was.
Thanks.
I forgot to ask you about it.
And the last six, I've been so much more focused on the edit than I have the recording, which has meant it's taken a long time. But I think these days you just have to, because there are, at the moment, if someone's into podcasting, they are really into it. And so then that means that they've got a stack of shows that are sort of unread, as it were, in email terms. And so I think, look, I want them to enjoy it, and so I trim it down as much as I can, so it still tells the story, but there's no fluff.
You're making me feel selfish now. But you're right, you are right. I underestimate that I'm probably one of very few who listens to 6 hours of audio a day, because I want to get through it all.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going to fall by the wayside if you are just going on and on and on, because I like actuality and I like those nuances and I like the small stuff.
Yeah, it's...
But then I'm not really looking for an audience and I've got no sponsors.
No, and it depends on what the podcast's about, really, as to whether or not you need that space to breathe or the space for the listener to actually think. My podcast is all about choices, and so I hope that during the show they are thinking about what choices they would have rather than the guest themselves. So it does allow... I want them to have that time to think for themselves as well, and also, in a way, hopefully, come up with the same question that I do as to why they've decided to choose that item.
And if you've not heard Deserted, you can find it on all your podcatchers of choice by searching Deserted, and you'll see a palm tree logo, and it will probably say five things and an island.
Yeah, something five like items, one island.
Five items, one island. I like that as a little tagline. It pretty much explains. And you are a pretty hardcore customs officer.
I can be, yeah. It depends on the time of day and whether, you know, what's been going on in the customs office that day.
And people have to choose. Go through the items. One.
It's a podcast, a website, a Twitter feed, a book, and a gadget or device. Five items that they take to a desert island.
I'm thinking the website should be interchangeable with newsletter. There's been a big upsurgence with newsletters recently. I've noticed that for my own personal
life. Yeah. True.
Because that could be delivered via the coconut, this mythical
coconut
thing.
Enclosure. Yeah. That's how we deliver the podcasts, in a pod of coconut.
Yeah. You'll have to make this happen. Even just drill a hole and put some headphones in a coconut for a little shot. Next time I'm on an island.
Latest podcast straight off the tree.
I will do all your stock stuff. Yeah, right. Have you got a URL you want to share?
Desertedpodcast.com. Simple as that.
Thanks so much. And hopefully we've managed to capture loads of audio and cram it into my phone. 16 minutes. I only wanted to do two.
2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah, get carried away. But it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's my telephone voice just snuck in there. Documentally.